right, we are back with Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, Barry Good Foundation, Food Foundation, with another great show about waste. And in this segment, we have two more great guests. We have Maria Hesse, is that right?
Yep, that's right.
She's a chef, designer, writer, food waste activist, and author of The Intentionalist Cooks and contributing editor to Edible San Diego. Welcome to the show, Maria. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also with us, we have Heather Dane, co-author with Louise Hay of The Bone Broth Secret, and I believe another book that I read about, and radio show host, Hay House Radio, health coach and 21st century medicine woman. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you.
All right, Michelle, where shall we start with these great guests?
Well, I think, you know, if we're going to talk about reducing food waste, a good place to start is with people who can talk to consumers about what they can do at home. And both of these people have experience in helping preserve and prepare and utilizing ingredients that others may not be familiar with. So this is good for reducing food waste. It's also good for stretching your food budget. So Heather, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I think that one of the biggest things when it comes to reducing waste is that we have to start thinking about what we're doing in our kitchens a little bit differently and preparing our foods a little bit differently. And for a lot of people, they don't have the time, or they feel they don't have the time. And I can really identify with that, because when I first started thinking about my health, I was a stressed out corporate executive working 12-hour days. And I was told that if I didn't start eating better, my health was going to go way downhill. And finding the time became really difficult. So I learned a few strategies. I also learned that 25% of waste happens in our kitchens every day. So if we were to think a little bit differently about how we prepared food, then that would help. But here's the real kicker. We have to prioritize taking that extra time. I found that doing that for myself, taking the time to actually prepare food, pick recipes I really liked, plan ahead, was key to my healing, because it got me to slow down. And slowing down helped me get out of my adrenaline lifestyle. And I started to prepare foods that worked for me. The interesting thing that I found over time is that the home cook is actually the original healer in the family. If you look at a family and you look at their blood tests, they usually come out very similar regardless of their health conditions. And that's because they eat the same and they have the same thoughts and lifestyle habits. The home cook, when they used to stir a pot on the stove, would taste and add a little of this and a little of that. Mm-hmm. Intuitively, what they were actually doing was creating health for the family. When you cook at home, you get to add medicinal spices, which are the highest antioxidant, highest phytochemical foods that we have on the planet today.
Give us three or four of them.
Ginger.
Yes.
Wonderful anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. Turmeric, when you combine that with black pepper, another wonderful anti-inflammatory. Mm-hmm. And there's also things like rosemary and thyme, which are great for moods and memory.
And taste good.
Absolutely. And then we have sea salt. You know, people are using table salt. If they just started to use sea salt, they'd add minerals back into their diet. So suddenly you're starting to get healthier. And if we were to think about the original idea of sustainability, I go back to my Native American roots. I'm an Iroquois Indian. And what our tribe says is, in terms of sustainability, we take only what we need and we leave the rest for the next seven generations of humans and the next seven generations of the species.
Good wisdom for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, but what about sustainability for ourselves? If we were to take more time out to pick recipes we loved, to actually make those recipes, to enlist friends and family to help us cook the food, to wash it ahead of time, cut it ahead of time, and put it in single servings so we can take it to lunch when we're going to work, all these little things we can do to plan ahead, we start realizing that we're taking time to nourish ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we live a sustainable life, we live a healthy life. When we are healthier and more nourished, we want to take those extra steps to nourish everyone around us, including Mother Earth. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, you could be your own, I don't want to name the company, but they do these prepackaged servings for diets, and you're paying big money for it. You're doing it, it's DIY, right? Do it yourself.
Exactly.
And Maria has experience both at home as a personal chef in restaurants. And look, you know, I was thinking about, as you were talking, you're really talking about mindfulness, really, on a level. Like, you know, when we go through those processes to prepare food, we also, you know, it's, I always say it's hard. You can't really get in bad health of food that you create for yourself, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, you'd have to, it would be really hard.
Well, I'm discovering chai tea lattes now. I think that's a little better for me than coffee, but all those spices in there, right?
Yeah, great spices.
Watch right? The sugar.
I know. I'm very sensitive. Yeah. And I don't even like sweet things that much, but if I can get a little less sweet, that'd be great. But yeah, Maria was a chef for 10 years, personal chef, worked in small and large scale restaurants, right, Maria?
Not as a chef in restaurants. I worked mainly in front of house and through management. Basically, every position in the restaurant that you could work, I did in my career there. But I came out of a very large corporate environment, realizing that that wasn't the kind of food experience I wanted to continue to have in my life, because I was witnessing a lot of what you spoke of, how there are a lot of healing and transformation through food and natural food, which is where I always say sustainability starts with food.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing what's best for your health, you're also doing what's best for the environment. And so I started working, you know, very small scale in homes, going into people's houses and preparing weekly meals, bigger, large family style portions that they could kind of break up and eat as they would like, all of them as organic and unprocessed as possible, of course.
And with regard to waste and everything, I mean, are we better off with more of a plant-based diet and de-emphasizing the meats? Is that, I know it.
I think what we need to promote is more conscientious consumerism when it comes to our food consumption. Bottom line, so if you are somebody who does eat meat, be very mindful of the meat that you eat, either reduce your portion of it or source it from places that you know are, you know, being generous to the environment as they take from it. And those are important keys as far as maintaining meat consumption, because it's healthier for you as a product in the long run.
What about tips for consumers, like people at home? What can they do? Like, how do they use extra parts? Things are not carrot tops, bones. Like, what about things that we normally think of as waste but really aren't,
right,
as you know?
So those are things that are really useful in stocks. If you're making your own, either vegetable or bone broths are really, really popular right now. But they can also just go into compost. You can grind them up and use them in salad dressings and make pestos and different things. And they're very nourishing. They just increase the flavor value of your food. And, you know, you're wasting less, and you're taking in more of that nutrient value that your body needs.
Because like tops, like I think so many people throw away the tops of all the vegetables.
Right.
I noticed that I think it's Whole Foods that they'll actually offer to rip the carrot tops off for you. And I think, hey, I want that.
Yeah.
Makes an awesome pesto or salad dressing. Carrot peels. Like, we made a salad once out of all the peels. Like, you know, like these things taste good,
they
you know?
They do.
I happen to like beets, and I chop the tops off and saute that
nice.
With olive oil. Oil and garlic and all that.
Joe, I'm proud of you.
Everything, you know, Michelle, we're Italian. Everything's olive oil and garlic, you know. You can saute anything, for gosh sakes,
yeah.
Right?
And beets are magical, really.
People talk about, you know, how do I use these things? Well, to me, I'm a lazy chef. I'm in the kitchen all the time, but I like to get in and I like to get out. And so if we take these scraps and we throw them into a crock pot or a stock pot, cover it right up with water and let it go, you only need 1 hour for a vegetable broth. And the thing with factory farming with animal protein where we went wrong is we decided that 15% of the animal was the best part. Those were our choice cuts, which means we were ignoring 85% of the animal. That's the nightmare that we've created. If we were to go towards a bone broth, we would actually be using, we could reduce animal consumption up to 85%. We use the overlooked pieces that nobody wants. We can use the bones over and over again, depending upon the type of bone that you're using. You suddenly have decreased your grocery budget. I can't believe how much my grocery budget has decreased since I started. I choose grass-fed or pasture-fed animals, wild-caught fish, and I choose the things that people think are more expensive. But suddenly my grocery budget's going down because I'm using these overlooked cuts and bones and things like that, and they're absolutely delicious, and they give us collagen, which heals the small intestine.
So let me give you some aggregate numbers there about meat and seafood. 20% of meat is lost, and in the aggregate, if you added that out, That's basically the poundage equivalent of 75 million cows, 35% efficient seafood, which is the equivalent of 3 billion Atlantic salmon. You know, it's because people want the filet and they don't want the rest. But the truth is, that's where the flavor lives. And most real good cooks. And by the way, we're not. This isn't something new. Like we say bone broth. I always love this. Like, that's what grandma used to do. Yeah. This is what made them healthy, right? Mm-hmm. We just forgot a lot in our sort of consumer model of eating packaged processed food.
Right. Exactly. And like with fish bone, that's where a lot of the good omega fats and the beneficial oils that you want from that fish reside. So you can make a broth from it. And
stop buying the capsules, keep the bones.
Yeah. But anyway, we have to pause it right there. Maria Hesse and Heather Dane, thanks for being. We'll have their websites on our website, iowamoney.com. So thanks for being our guests, and we'll come right back with more after this. Hang on.